How are you guys doing? So let's take a seat. Let's get ready as we just about to start here. So I don't know if Mark mentioned it, but Raf is in Palma right now teaching at a men's conference with a Spanish church. So please keep him in prayer as he's going to be there today. And as you can see, what we're going to talk about a little bit is worship. So just before that, I just wanna take this moment just to say a special thanks to Martin, to Bart, to Andrew, Valerie, Brittany, Heidi, Nathan, and Abolo. You know, they give a lot of their time and effort into practicing and to getting things ready for the worship. So let's just give them a hand, yeah? So before we start, let's just pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for this morning, Lord. And as we just dig in just a little bit of the topic about worship, I do ask, Father, that you would just prepare our hearts, prepare our minds, Lord, to receive from you. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us, that you would minister to us, Lord, and that you would just give us a new perspective of worship, Lord. In your name we pray, amen. All right, so normally when I ask, what is worship, what is the first thing that comes into your mind? Okay, you don't have to say it out loud. Some people say, oh, singing, music, oh, my one favorite song, How Great Is Our God, or This I Believe in the Name of Jesus. You know, and that's what you think about, right? Okay, so keep that in your mind as we go through a little bit with the study. So I'm very visually active, so I have a few slides that are supposed to be working, but it's not changing for me. It's okay. Don't worry. It's good. Okay, great. Let's see if it works now. Nope. You might have to do it for me, Valerie. Nope. Hold on 1 second, guys, while I just fix this real quick. It's okay, sit down. You're gonna have to do it for me. So just hit the next button, okay? All right, so it's loading. So, but while that's loading, why don't you guys turn your Bibles into Genesis 22? That will be our foundation a little bit today, Genesis 22. And if you can play the video.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking, start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap, you're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite. The circle of life. Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five, press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village People, Rocky, Touchdown. There you go. There's... You're set.
All right, so that's just... has probably nothing to do with what I'm going to talk about, but I just thought I would show it to you guys. It's really funny. But A.W. Tozer says, what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. I read it one more time. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. So on the next slide, we look at, what does the word worship mean? Proskuneo is the word, is the New Testament Greek word, which means to kiss the hand towards one in reverence. So with that, you think about back in the times when there was kings, when they would come up to him, he would show him his ring and they would give him a kiss and a bow just to show of respect. So in kind of that type of aspect, we see where the word worship comes from. Another example is to fall upon the knees, bowing in expression and reverence. So just a little bit about bow down before, which is really important for us to know a little bit about. And Psalms 95:6 says, come, let us bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Romans 14:11 says, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me. Every tongue will confess that I am God. And in Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 to 11 says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed on coming to the house. They saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshiped him. So we see throughout the Bible bowing down in expression. So that's one way of how we worship God. So my next question with that is, where is the word worship first mentioned in the Bible? You know, when people who are not Christians and we explain to them, oh yeah, we have worship service in the beginning, then the teaching, and they might think, what is worship? You know, and then where would you go in the Bible, right? So as you guys are should be there, next slide, Genesis 22. So we're going to read a little bit. Abraham's story with Isaac. Verse 1 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Does that ring a bell, the take your son, your one and only son? And go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering, on a mountain where I will show you. Verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Verse 4. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. So on the next slide, we see, just real quick, the word sacrifice. It's really important when it comes with the word worship. Sacrifice is an act of offering to a deity or something precious. You know, for those who love Lord of the Rings, my precious. That ring, you know, what is that thing that is precious to you? Especially the killing of a victim on an altar. Something of which is offered. As well, destruction or surrender of something for the sake of something else. And that's the word sacrifice. On the next slide, let's continue to read verse 5. He said to his servants, so get ready. If you have your Bibles, highlight it here. This is where it starts. Stay here with the donkey while I stay with the boy over there. We will worship and then we will come to you. So right there, the word worship is the first time the word is mentioned in the Bible, right there in Genesis 22, verse 5. And it's quite interesting to see, if you think about it, why in the world would he say that I'm going to go worship when he knows God is telling him to go kill your son? So now we have to try our best to put ourselves in Abraham's shoes. I'm not a father, but I can imagine if God said to me, I need you to kill your son, to sacrifice him on the altar. I'd be like, what? Like, did I hear him correctly? I'll call Mark. I'll call Raph. Am I getting this right? You know? No. No, but really, he said to him directly that you need to kill his son. And for those who are not Christians, the first thing you'll think about is, what type of God is that? What type of God is that that would make him sacrifice his son? So we see Abraham, he goes straight, he's obedient, and he starts walking. And then we continue to look at the story in verse 6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac. Now reverse from being parent to being the son. Imagine Isaac. I mean, if that was me, I would be like, I'm getting out of here. What are you doing? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? You know? And he himself carried the fire and the knife as the two of them went together. Verse 7. Isaac spoke up, finally. You know, he's probably lingering in his heart like, I don't want to ask this question, but he says to Abraham, Father, yes, my son, Abraham replied. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Scratching his, where is it? No, it's not there. In verse 8, Abraham answered, and imagine this, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went together. Now imagine if you honestly ask your dad that question, where is the lamb? And he says, oh, God will provide. Oh, okay. What does that mean? You know, you might think to yourself, like, what's going on? And we continue in verse 9 on the next slide. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there. So you see, it's a big buildup right now. Built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. So Isaac already knows, well, all right, it's probably going to be me. This is it. You know, I don't know why in the world my dad's doing this, but I'm just going to, you know, go with it. Verse 10, then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. So Abraham's about to do it. In verse 11, and as he's going down, but the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. You know, and it's really crazy to see that was one and only son. And when I think about that, I think of John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for us. You know, and we see a picture here when it comes with worship, the sacrifice. On the next slide, it says in verse 13, Abraham looked up, and there in a thicket, he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it said, on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. Isn't that a crazy story? Just to see how God provides for all of our needs. Next slide. And Romans 12, verse 2, Mark talked about this a couple weeks ago. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. So we just saw a literal picture of sacrifice, and he's about to kill Isaac. But now it says in Romans 12, therefore, I urge you, brothers, in the view of God's mercy, to offer yourself, your bodies, as a living sacrifice. Holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. So when people ask you, man, what is worship? What it should be like? It should be this. Us sacrificing ourselves. And next slide, I have a question. What was Abraham's worship to God? child, okay? Yeah, hit the next slide. His obedience. Obedience is a big key when it comes to the word worship. Again. So just a little example. So first, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You know, I heard that all my life when I was a kid. My mom made sure, you know, why do I have to obey you? Oh, well, the Bible says so, you know? And so when we think of obey, we think of those things, right? On the continue hitting, yeah. The definition a little bit, according to Webster's Dictionary, it says to follow the commands or guidance of, which we all don't like to do. We want to do our own thing, but to follow the commands. Or it says to conform to or comply with. The word conform. Does that ring a bell? To me, it does. The next verse, it says in Romans 12, verse 2, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Next slide. So, we see one aspect that worship is obedience. It says in 1 Samuel 12, verse 22, does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifices? As we just saw earlier, does he delight in that? Is that what he wants? As much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. I'll say that one more time. To obey is better than sacrifice. So to keep that in mind. And Greg Laurie, a famous evangelist in California, he says, obedience to the revealed truth of God guarantees guidance in matters unrevealed. I'll say that one more time. Obedience to the revealed truth, so the word of God, when we obey the word of God, guarantees guidance in matters unrevealed. And for me, I think that's very encouraging, that when we rely on what the word is saying, when we are obeying God, that he reveals his will to us. Next slide. So John 4, verse 23 to 24 says, yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father and in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship him in spirit and in truth. So think of that right now as we're getting ready to watch the next video, spirit and in truth.
I will sing of your love on Sundays, only sing of your love on Sundays. I will sing of your love on Sundays, then this feeling is gone by Monday. I surrender.
right. So just to show a little bit of how honest are we when we're worshiping God? You know, what is going through our minds? What is going through our hearts when we're singing? Are we honest? A.W. Tozer says, true worship of God must be a constant and consistent attitude and state of mind within a believer. And that looks like, so worship is not just when we start singing the songs and then after we pray and then we give a message and then that's it. No, worship is throughout the whole week. It's throughout every day when we wake up, when we're working, when we're with whatever. Throughout the whole day, we're worshiping God. And we have to really think to ourselves, what am I thinking? What am I saying? What's on my heart? You know, I have the privilege to work for, and you can hit the next slide. I have the privilege to work for a scuba dive company. And, you know, I'm the only Christian that works there. You know, and I had an incident last week when they said, okay, Alex, the boss said to me, and you can hit it several times. The boss said to me, Alex, and it was Saturday. He says, we want you here tomorrow, which is Sunday, at 9 o'clock. And we're going to continue practicing. We're going to go scuba diving and things like that. My heart dropped because Sunday is normally church. and it was just really hard. And he's like, is that okay? And everyone's there. The boat captain, the two other divers, the executive director. Everyone was standing there. And I said, actually, no, it's not okay. And everyone's like, you know, looking at me like, what do you mean? And you could see, and the boss, he took off his sunglasses. What do you mean it's not okay? And then he was like, no, I don't even want to hear it. It doesn't matter. You need to be here tomorrow. And I'm like, oh, man. And then finally he asked, and I just felt like an idiot. I had clammy hands and everything. And he said, what is so important that you need to not come tomorrow that you want to be at? And I said, well, I kind of do worship, which is music. I said, music at the church. And I tend to do that every Sunday and things like that. And his face was like this. And you could start to see him thinking. And then all of my colleagues looked at me and they're like, And then I was like, man, what is he going to say? And I was like, I generally thought I was going to lose my job. And he says, okay, then you come back on Monday. You go to church tomorrow, you have your Sunday, and then we'll see you again on Monday. And for me, that was a really big thing. And ever since then, that really started a lot of conversations within my coworkers. Oh, you're a Christian. Oh, well, I'm a Catholic. Or, oh, I don't believe in God. And that's how things start, you know? I don't know why I went this route, but I just wanted to explain that to you. when should we worship is the next thing. When should we worship? So on the next slide, it says, in the morning is an example. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 30 says, they were also to stand every morning to thank and praise the Lord. Psalm 5, verse 3 says, in the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait expectantly. Psalm 92, verses 1 through 3 says, it is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name, O Most High, proclaiming your love in the morning. So we can praise him in the morning time. Another example is in the evening, at night. Luke 6, verse 12 says, one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and spent the night praising God, to God. Acts 16, verse 24 says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. So those are some examples of when we can pray, sing, worship. And the next slide says, all day, every day. 1 Chronicles 16, 23 says, sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. Every day we can worship him. Psalms 35, 28. My tongue will proclaim your righteousness, your praises all day long. And the last verse, Psalm 104, 33. I will sing to the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Quite dramatic, but it's amazing that we can worship him as long as we live. Next slide. So I have another question. We have a thinker over there. Where can we worship? So we saw a little bit about when. Where can we worship? So the first thing, hit the next slide, we think to ourselves, at church, right? One example is amongst people. Here we are, amongst people. Psalms 108:3 says, I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. And another example is everywhere we can worship. Psalm 139, verse 7 through 10 says, I really love this one. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Isn't that really nice? So, on the next slide, we have all been made different, which means we have different tastes and styles when it comes to music within the church. Sometimes you like a little bit of dancing in it. Sometimes you like clapping. Sometimes some people are like, what are you clapping for? This is serious right now. I love this song. Don't ruin it for me. Everyone has different tastes and styles. Some people love the drums and love the electric guitar. Some people just want piano, you know, and grab out the hymnal book. You know, that's okay. And it says in Psalms 139, verse 13 to 14, you alone created my inner being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. So God has made us different. And the next videos I'm going to show you are some examples of different styles, different, the word that I use, tastes of worship.
Thank you.
last one. Now I just want to share, so anyway, about that, so you see just a little bit of different tastes and different genres, you know. So some people might say to you, oh man, this is correct, and you know, we can see that we can worship God in whatever that comes out of our hearts, whether if it's jumping, whether if it's clapping, whether if you're sitting down, whether if the lights are off or whether if it's on, no matter what, that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, as long as we're honest with him. So I just want to share with you guys just a little bit of, not my testimony, but just a little bit of how worship has influenced me in my life. Praise God that I've been raised up by two Christian parents who has loved me and brought me up in the Christian walk, you can say. And every night I would remember that my mom or my dad would put worship music when I go to sleep. Every time, always put worship music when I went to bed, which was really nice, you know. And no one plays music in my family, no one at all, like no one even close. And I really do believe that through the gifts that God has given me, because I can play the different instruments, that God has ministered through me through worship when I'm sleeping when I was a kid, you know. And we were attending a church in Georgia called Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain. And before that, we were at a Baptist church, and I wasn't the biggest fan of this church because my mom would always part my hair to one side. I had to wear the same button-up shirt every Sunday, and I was hot, and I was like, I hate church. You know, I don't want to come this morning. I'm all sweating, and I'm like, Mom, I hate this. And finally, when we moved church, we went to a Calvary Chapel, which is a denomination from this church. My dad said, oh, man, we're going to a new church, and I'm going to wear shorts and sandals. And I'm like, what? You're going to wear shorts at this church? Yeah. You can wear a t-shirt, Alex. I'm like, no. And, you know, we went to this church, and it was unbelievable. It was kind of like this type of setup, you know, start off with the worship songs. And at the church that I was at before, only had just the piano and the choir. But at this church that we came to, there was drums, there was electric guitar, there was bass. I was like, man, I like this, you know? And I didn't know any instruments, and I loved the worship when I was a kid. I loved the worship songs, like we saw earlier, How Great Is Our God, and all of these things. And the biggest thing that really got me was the music in church. It really, really impacted me. Okay, so when we moved to Spain, you know, just a lot of certain things happened in my life. A lot of people know who's been here at this church, seen me grow, seen how my lifestyle was. It's been struggle with being the only Christian in your school as a young person, and it's super hard. People are like, hey, let's go to Magaluf. And I'm like, you know, I have no money. And then they'll say, oh, I'll give you money. I'm like, oh, you know. And I would lie to my parents. I would lie to them. Oh, I'm staying at Ben's house, which is technically true, but I would be going out partying in Magaluf, you know. The very next day, coming to church, playing the bass, you know, and everything's going okay. And people saying to me, man, Alex, it's such a great example you are, that you're so young and you're serving in the church. You know, and people would say that to me, and that would really hit me because I knew deep down inside what was actually going on, you know? But music really impacted me. And, you know, there was a time in my life where I was in Bible college, and I was really being encouraged in my walk with Him and with worship and what is worship actually meaning. And I went through a phase in my life where I wanted to pray more and just wanted just to pray. And I didn't know how to pray. I didn't know what to pray. So I just made a simple list, like a prayer list, and I had on my prayer list my parents, pray for the church, pray for Raph and Loretta, and for different things, different friends. And as well, one of the biggest things was for my brother, Wesley. And he was my stepbrother. And during that time, I was just really praying for him. Lord, bring him to Mallorca, because he was in the United States. And bring him here so, you know, he could see how great and how good it is, you know. And then one day I was doing homeless ministry with Rick and Monica and got a phone call. And it was my brother's girlfriend saying that, oh, I'm sorry, but your brother just committed suicide last night. Which is super crazy because the very night before when I was writing down these testimonies, I just really, it's really weird. You can say whatever you want about it, but I really felt a presence of God on my heart when I was in my room. And I just started crying. I was crying so loud to the point where I turned up the worship music even louder just so the neighbors couldn't hear. But I didn't know why I was crying. And all of a sudden I just had this relieving presence, and I really felt like God was ministering through me through worship music, you know, and I was just praying. And then the very next day I heard that news, and I'll never forget what Raph always quotes about, I think it's Britt Merrick, when he lost his daughter, you know, he said to God, you know, between me and you, Lord, nothing changes. So I wanted to keep that when that happened. And, you know, worship music for me, during that time of my life, really impacted me the most. You know, I wasn't quick to listen to the radio hits. I wasn't quick to listen to all the things that people are putting on Facebook, listen to this song or this Vine or Instagram. No, I just wanted to surround myself with worship music and start to see how my heart, my mind, my everything started to change. And even today, for an example, with me becoming a dive master at this diving school, I didn't know that I was going to get the job. And they wanted to call me for an interview, and I was super nervous. And when I'm in the car, I have worship music on. And the song that was on, I believe, was Christ is Enough for Me by Hillsong. Christ is enough for me. And literally just singing it in the car. Lord, I don't know if I'm going to get this job. I need money. But Lord, no matter what, I need to know and try to say out in faith and remember that He is enough for me. He is enough for me. So just, you know, a little bit, be encouraged with worship. You know, take some time in the morning, in the evening, whenever you're free, whenever you're available, listen to some worship music. Open up your Bible. Read a chapter. Whatever you want. It doesn't have to be a chapter. Read several verses. Play some worship music on and just spend some time. Spend some time with the Lord. You know, be encouraged and realize, man, worship is not just here and when we start singing together. Worship starts in your room, in the secret place, privately. You know, and we all struggle with that. I struggle with that. You know, being busy, I could just say, oh, no, I'm, you know, I'm working from 8 till 6. Got to pick up Valerie and all these things. No, to make time. That's one of the hardest things for us to do is to make time just to sit down and simply read. Why is it so hard for us? I don't know. I think it's a little bit spiritual. But with that, on the next slide, I think. Oh, no, the song, correct? Okay, I just want to share with you guys. And please keep my dad in prayer. He's not well. He's in the hospital. He's a little bit mentally off and things like that. And it's not too good. But you know, he always shared with me a song that I love, that is worship, and it's called Knowing You, and I think that it would be really appropriate if we just shared it a little bit. Says, how can anyone ever worship God without knowing what kind of God he really is? You know, and so it's really important that when we worship God, to get to know who he is. How can we worship a God that we don't even know? So be encouraged to get to know Jesus, get to know God and for who he is. And as the worship team comes up, I just want to share this last and final verse. I don't know if... Oh, it's okay. If you have your Bibles, it's in the book of Micah, chapter 6. And it says in Micah 6, verse 6, with what shall I come before the Lord? And I think Mark shared this as well. And bow myself before the high God. Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Verse 7 says, will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He says. And then in verse 8, he has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? And this is what I want to leave with you guys. What does the Lord require of you in your hearts? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you desire to speak to us, Lord. And Father, with that, we do desire that we get to know you more and that in worship, Lord, that we would experience your presence more, that we would draw closer to you, Lord. And as we just spend some time, Lord, now in worship, Father, that you would truly minister to our hearts, that you would open our minds, that you would open our ears, open our eyes, Lord, to what you have to say to us, Lord. And Father, as we just express our love towards you, we do ask that you would be with every person here, that you would encourage them, that you would be with them in every struggle that everyone's going on in this room right now, Lord, that it's in their minds and in their hearts, that you would be able to minister to them, Lord, that you would open up their hearts, God, to receive you, Father, and to remember what you have done for them, Father. We love you so much. In your name we pray. Amen.